Topics. They're hard to come by, and me and Fruity are completely and utterly out of them. So we thought we would just boot up the podcast today and just have a good old chat between friends, you know, during this isolation stuff. You know, we're not going to parties, we're not seeing family, we're not seeing friends, we're not going to Waterworld or amusement parks. You know, Fruity is a big fan of amusement parks. She goes there all the time, big Disney fan. What? She loves musicals, she loves to sing. And, you know, she's feeling really down. And, you know, how are you, Fruity?
Please
how
cheer
are you,
me up by giving this a like or whatever.
Yeah, give the video a like already or whatever you
comments,
do.
Whatever, yeah. I don't know. Yeah, otherwise, because I really can't go to Disneyland and it sucks. Dude, I'm pretty sure some Disneylands are still open in America. Definitely.
What?
Yeah, I thought I heard, well, it might have been a month ago, it was like Disneyland in Florida. I don't know what they're doing in Florida, but.
I've heard a lot of rumors about Florida, you know, like Florida seems to be the epicenter of like madness, uncontrolled madness. Have you heard much about Florida?
I just heard it was a lot of old people and a lot of crazy people.
A lot of old people. That's never a good start to a place, is it? Well, in the comments below or wherever, whatever it is, you know,
let us know if you're from Florida.
Yeah, let us know. Do you reckon you could be a mascot from Disneyland? Like, you know those people wear those big mascot suits like Mickey Mouse and stuff like that? Do you reckon you could do
I've
it?
I've seen like those YouTube videos exploring what it's like to be like one of those Disney princesses and how like quite demanding it is and how on script you need to be at all times and how you can never mention it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I'd slip up. I think I'd be too silly and I'd take too many like, you know, creative freedoms or whatever and say the wrong thing and I think Disney would be pissed.
You're like Rapunzel or something and a little kid walks up to you and they're like, what's up, homie?
No, like even if you like probably like danced a little bit like
wrongly or something
and they would be like, that's not how Rapunzel would do it. You're fine.
Oh, I tell you what, Fruity, talking about trying to get a job as a mascot, my hair today is wacky. You know those bad hair days? Yeah. Oh my God, you should see it. How's your hair day today?
It's all right. My hair's doing good. I need to go ahead hairdresser though. I want to just be washed. You know that feeling when you lean back and just wash it?
That feeling.
And I don't know what they do to the hair, but they just always looks good after.
My barber's really cool, Fruity. Mm. It's like a very, you know, like old fashioned, like manly barber. And when I go, remember when I was in the Click House, I still do that. When we live together, I still go to the same barber. I drive all the way up. And I have a whiskey. I sit down in this old-fashioned place and I get my hair cut. It's great. And we talk about manly things. It's great. Positive masculinity and all that. It's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. It really
is. What is talking about positive masculinity?
Positive masculinity is like, you know.
What do you talk about?
You just talk about, you know, masculine things. Like, you know,
isn't
I don't
that
know,
defeat
coffee.
The purpose of positive masculinity? Saying that you're speaking of manly things, isn't positive masculinity meant to be like you're not everything is has to be manly, you can be whatever and that
it is a lot to do with that, but there are some traits such as like for example a positive masculine thing rather than a toxic masculinity thing would be, you know, when a man opens a door for a woman and they will only open a door for a woman. That is toxic masculinity or the expectation of getting something from it. So, for example, a person who believes in positive masculinity still believes that you can open a door for a woman and be polite, but then you can also open doors for men, you know, but a bing, but a bang, you know, like... I think that's where positive masculinity comes and
but
I
like
wish
what,
there was
so,
more
so
of
is
it.
That what you sit down and talk to about the... At the barber, you're just like, remember how I opened that door for that woman and that man and that whatever.
Well, we don't say it like that, Fruity. Jesus Christ. No, but I'm talking about like men's health issues and stuff like that. You know, I'd say that that's like manly talk, you know, talking about our friends and what they're doing or, you know, relationships, you know, it's because I think when you say like, oh, I go to the barber and I talk about men things, you know, everybody these days thinks that it's going to be some sort of like toxicity and some sort of like, yeah, I had sex with this girl on the weekend and I did this and that. It's like, no, I talked about, you know, mental health and stuff like that, you know, positive masculine things, you know.
Another
great example is toxic masculinity would be buying a drink at a bar for a girl and expecting something from that, you know, like expecting to be to have a conversation. Like that's still like, just because you buy someone a drink doesn't mean you deserve a conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's not true at all. So it's like little things like that, that positive and positive and negative or toxic masculinity have as a difference. Yeah.
And that's what you talk about at the barber.
And that's what I talk about. You know, already, Fruity, we've gone from talking about being a mascot at Disneyland to the differences between toxic masculinity and positive masculinity.
No topic week's rule.
Yes, this is great. This is going well.
So at the moment, there's a Among Us tournament going on. I think it's for charity. I think that's what I'm getting from.
Oh, thank God it's for charity.
But it's like Among Us, a social game of deceiving, having a tournament makes no sense to me. Is it just me? Yeah. I don't know. Is it just me that thinks that it's a game that shouldn't be too competitive? I don't know.
You know, I'm unsure. I don't know how I feel about it. Yeah, I know what you mean, though. I think you know this about me. It's like, I get so infuriated in Among Us. I feel so weird playing that game. Like, whenever I get off, I feel so uncomfortable. And I know that it's just all in my own head, you know? Like, yeah. It's just... I feel so weird getting off that game. So there's no way in hell that I'm playing in a tournament. It's just not possible. It's just not going to happen. Because I'd just be bright red in the face, slamming me desk. Oh, my God. Yeah. I got so mad last night. Not last night. A couple of nights ago. When I was playing, I was imposter. I was the guy who does the killing.
Mm.
And somebody, like my teammate gets a kill and I got blamed for it. I wasn't even in the area and I got kicked out. So I didn't do it. It's like, oh my God, I get so mad.
Yeah, I'm a competitive person and I like, I like Among Us and I like to get riled up when things don't, you know, go in the way my way or when I really want things to go a certain direction. Yeah, I get really riled up. It's really fun to get, I guess, angry in a way and to really fight for what you think should go. So I get it. I get the competitive nature. But a tournament, how do you even justify who won that tournament?
Whoever gets the most... Oh, yeah, because it's completely random who gets imposter and stuff like that. How's the ranking system work?
Yeah, I don't understand, man. I don't understand.
That's crazy. Yeah, we'll have to look into the rule book for that one. Damn.
That's sweaty. I mean, I feel like you know that you're a bit too sweaty at the game if you're still talking about a certain round once it's over and, like, in anger. I mean, you can still say it's funny what happened, but, like, when you're, like, still like, I can't believe they voted me out. Last week on Tuesday, they voted
that's
me
what
out
happens
for no
to me.
Reason.
That's what gets to me. I'm literally that
but
guy.
You're
I'm
like, still mad about...
Oh, yeah. I still get mad about it. Yeah, I'm still thinking about it. And then you overthink what you said. And you're like, no, if I had said this, then they wouldn't have thought that I was there. And then, like, blah, 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 I should have done this. And one thing that really gets me, right, is last time we played together... we were playing with like a big group of friends. And so I talk a lot, right? You know, I like to talk. So when I started talking, everyone said that that's the reason why Cray is imposter. So I get booted out, right? And then, so I stopped talking. And then everyone's like, oh, it's got to be Cray. He stopped talking. I'm like, I can't fucking win in this game. I can't handle it. I can't handle it. I nearly sent my fist through the screen.
I mean, you know, were you imposter both times?
No, that's what triggers me the most. I was imposter when I was talking a lot. Then I'm like, oh, okay, like, you know, because that's a giveaway. I'll stop talking. And when I stop talking, they're like, ah, that's another giveaway. They're both giveaways. It's like, oh, my fuck. It's like, no, you fools. I'm just being quiet because you yelled at me. Jesus. Oh, man, triggers me.
Yeah.
I can't handle it.
I like when we play together because... I love when I'm like trying to make a point and you don't want to hear it and you go la 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 la.
Oh, that must be so infuriating.
I got so mad that I called. I remember this because you just remember certain things you say to people in Among Us sessions for some reason. It's like yeah. saying something embarrassing in school or something. It's that same effect it has yeah. where you're just like, I can't believe I said that. And I was just like, you attention seeking. Or something like that. I said something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. I do the same thing though. Mm-hmm. Like when I was playing with Baz, like there was just like these bits where Baz just knew I was imposter, you know, like, and I got imposter 4 times in a row and every time he knew. So like out of anger, I was like, oh, Baz is 100% cheating. You know, I was like, oh, there's no way you can know that I am imposter 4 times in a row in the first round straight away. You know, I was like, oh, he's cheating. And then the chat room starts losing its mind. Like, yeah, he's cheating. They start like brigading and stuff. And even Marcus was in my chat room and Marcus said like, man, this chat needs to like calm down a bit.
Mm.
And of course he's not cheating, you know? So it's like you say those things out of anger and you don't mean them, but they come out. There was a time when Tolga kicked me out. And I was imposter and he got me. And what did I say? He said something like, oh, you're just mad because you get kicked out. And I mute my mic and I'm like, you're damn straight, you fucking smart ass. But I said it in like such a like you could tell, you know, like you could tell that I was legitimately angry. And then straight after, I was like, I can't believe I said that.
It's like not even what you say necessarily, but it was like the attitude. It was like it came from pure anger.
It's the attitude, yeah. And I actually remember that line when you said like, oh, get over yourself. I was like, oh, she's mad. I was like, oh, I got her bad. I was like, oh, she's cranky. Oh, no.
I wasn't the imposter and you voted me out.
Oh, my God.
Oasis.
Well,
it was so bullshit.
Was that round, was I the imposter?
I don't know. No. Neither you or Oasis were the imposter, but I kept getting accused and I was so frustrated.
It's so hard, like, when you think that you've got someone to get off of them. You know, it's
true.
So hard.
True, yeah. I think we'd be terrible detectives, to be honest with you.
Oh yeah, big time. Especially our group. Imposters win a lot in our group, I've noticed. Like in other groups it's like hard for the imposter to win. You know, because all you gotta do is vote out 2 people.
To be fair, 10. In other groups I see they like watch the task bar and they do like very like small
they
little
things
hard. Where we just kind of more take it it's like kind of an agreement to take it more relaxed and make it more based on pure social more.
There was a time when we were playing and I think it was either Liv or Fasfi, I forget who it was, but they go on the med bay and I'm watching the task bar and that thing did not budge and I'm like, ah, screw it, I'm not gonna say anything. And I didn't, you know, I was just like, I don't want to be that guy who's like,
I mean, like,
I saw him on
med
bay. And
if you're waiting, but if you're like looking at it constantly checking every single task, yeah, but if you happen to see it, I think it's a bit.
I was checking. Different. You know, I was staring
at
that
thing. Oh,
you were sweating?
I was sweating
and I caught myself.
Hmm.
And then I was like, nah, screw it. Yeah. to be fair, I was waiting for the med bay, but then I was like, nah, screw it.
I think that's one of the cases where it's kind of okay. But who knows? Maybe it's fun to be a part of a sweaty lobby. It's just not for me. I like to try to figure out people's tells.
There's been a murder, is Baz's tell.
At the start of every round, where
yeah,
he's
at the
imposter.
Start of every round. Oh my God.
Why would you just say it like that?
I've realized how bad I am with that kind of stuff through playing Among Us. You know, I'm a terrible liar and I'm not very. Like, the only rounds I win as imposter, I don't know if you've noticed, Fruity, but it's when I get someone else who is very fast at killing. Like, I'll get like Baz or someone and I'm like, okay, I'll kill the whole lobby the first round, you know, like that round with Mao, you know, where I just ran around and in the first, I think it was like literally like a, felt like a minute lobby. It was crazy. Double kill at the start into another double kill together in cafeteria into 2 more kills in mid, you know, it was a boom, boom, boom. And then we had won. It was crazy. It's so crazy. It's on YouTube, ladies and gentlemen. Go check it out.
Sorry if you guys are sick of seeing Among Us everywhere. You see it everywhere at the moment.
Everywhere.
But it's a fun, real fun game.
The horror game Phasmophobia is my favorite at the moment. I love watching it. I love playing it. It's a good game.
I really
do like that game.
Playing it in VR is next level.
Yeah, see, that's why I want to I want to move out to my own place so I can set up the VR. That's why I'm very excited for that. Very excited.
You can still do VR and you're in like chair and like a little space to
yeah,
try.
Yeah, it kind of feels like it kind of feels like not the same as much, you know? Like,
that's fair.
And my hands, like if I was to stand up here, like I am going to punch the wall like several times, you know what I mean? And it is going to hurt.
Now they have like yeah. two settings where you have to make a big room or you make that little.
You can like sit.
Yeah. Or stand yeah, in yeah. that one space. But I don't know how good that second setting is. But dude, you know what I bought the other day?
What's that? Tell us about it.
An index, a VR index thing, Valve Index.
Is that the like the cool controls
that
and
is,
stuff?
That is, I think, or? the peak of VR at the moment is that.
That's very cool.
Apparently, like the headsets, like bloody double the like what the other ones are,
like
visually.
HD,
yeah.
Pixels
yeah.
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the controllers have the fingers working. Damn. They can have that. I just wanted to get it because I just want to do more VR, Craig. Like, after playing Phasmophobia, so it's like a horror ghost hunting game, for those of you who don't know, I just wanted to play more of it. It just felt so cool.
I've been thinking so much about games lately. It's been a bit crazy. Just, you know, thinking about, like, where gaming is going because at the moment it seems like, you know, on streaming and YouTube, a trendy game comes out and it hits the scene and everyone plays it and then it like slowly or eventually fades, which is what happens with everything, right? But I've been like trying to think of like, if I was to make a game, what would I make? And like, how would I make it? And without a doubt, it would be a VR Cluedo game, much like Among Us, but with more like...
More like murder mystery? You know,
pardon?
Like
pardon?
A murder mystery where...
Exactly. Or you make games. People want, I think during this time, we've seen how much people want to play co-op. People want to play with their friends. They want to interact.
Every game that's like popped off this year is something that you can relate to other people.
Exactly, exactly.
You know, Fall Guys, Among Us, Phasmo's kind of popping up, I suppose. Animal Crossing was something that you could play with people.
Interact with your friends, yeah. And that's what people want. And I wish developers kind of, you know, realize that more, especially these AAA developers. They wonder why their game only lasts, you know, a week or something like that. It's like, where are these big AAA developers being like, wow, Among Us works. You know, I will make a AAA version of that game. Or I will bring those developers on who made Among Us and make, you know, see their vision with a full team, you know, because they've already made it, so they already have it. Sometimes I swear people who make games sometimes don't even play other games. They might play their game in development, but you really do have to, you know, see what's popular and see why it's popular.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff has been, it almost bugs me. It almost irritates me, you know, like Surgeon Simulator just missed the mark for me just on like a little bit, but everything was there that made it a good game. You know what I mean? Like the interaction, the four players, the one goal together. It's like those kind of things are really good. Deceit, Friday the 13th, Among Us,
play these games.
A Way Out. You know, those games they're always so interesting and so fun to play with friends.
It's been a good year for just random games to pop off. It's been a really good year.
It has been.
Like people have been playing this like random anime fighting game that looks like Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild Genshin Impact. Have you seen that?
I've seen it. I don't really get it.
Okay,
but,
what they're doing. Don't you press the off button. Don't you. Stormy was so close to pressing the off button of the PC. Oh my god. I would have lost my recording. But no, it's just people have been spending a lot on like, I don't know, on like random, I think they randomize what anime girl you get and what powers she or he gets.
And, right.
And so people spend like a lot of money to get the
one
best
they want.
Ones. Yeah. And it's like, I think it's like a very much like a box, random box type thing. I haven't played it, so I don't know for sure. But I think that's the appeal of it, is to get the best best anime girl.
See, I like anime, you know, I like anime, but I don't like anime games, believe it or not. I don't find them interesting or fun to play. unless it was like Persona, the Persona series, like those games are quite good. Mm. But, you know, like, yeah, I don't want to collect anime waifus. You know, I don't want to do that. I'm not on my Iichi hentai stuff. Like, that's not for me, you know.
You don't have to do that to play an anime game.
You kind of do, Fruity, let me tell you. That's why they're playing it. They don't say it out loud, but, you know, so there's a reason why they're collecting anime waifus.
Okay, okay. In a game is because they're doing it in real life.
If you
life.
Play Genshin and Impact or whatever it is, you love hentai. That's what I'm saying right now out loud. You okay. love the hentai. Okay. You're a little freaky.
Okay. Anyway. dudes, this is not a multiplayer game. It's like Cyberpunk is not a multiplayer game. It's single player.
Yeah.
And it's coming out next month.
Yep.
And people have been like mad at Cyberpunk for...
Why?
It was like the end of last month. So it was like only like a week ago. In which they like made an announcement, we're gonna like crunch for it. We're gonna like make our workers work more for it, and they'll be compensated for it. And people are mad at that. Like, they're like, I don't understand why they're so mad at people working hard, working like longer hours, getting paid more to get something out on time. I don't really understand the outrage. Like, I get like, you know, workers' rights and like making sure that they get what they want, but then it's literally a month of like a crunch time is what they have.
I mean, to get it out sooner rather than
take a break or like.
I think the only way outrage is warranted there is if the developer or production companies have the control to say everybody must do that. You know, like. The entire company must now crunch hard for a month. You must work overtime. You must work over an agreed point of hours that we had in our initial contract. Even if it is for more money, you must do it or else you are letting down the entire company if you choose not to do that. I think that is kind of a dangerous idea.
I think that's what their post came across as, that everyone was crunching down as. But I just don't think...
That's what's actually happening.
Like, I feel like if people had problems, if people like in maternity leave, whatever other reasons they had, I think that would be still warranted, you know? Like, I think sickness, whatever. But
you're
just
kind
the
of
fact,
confused
I
as
think,
to more hours equals more pay, you know? Like, you think that that's all right, which I do too.
It's an extra day and then extra hours and is what they're working. But I assume, you know, it's a bit more. Optional. I don't know. I just can't imagine it. It was meant to be like a good thing, like we're gonna get this done for you in time, but it ended up being like a how dare you treat workers like that. I'm like, do you really know how they treat their workers?
You can never please people on the internet. They really are just a bunch of rabid dogs in so many ways. You know, it's I've said this to you before, Fruity, but I don't trust most of the internet, especially if you've got an anime profile picture or a Fortnite profile picture.
Hey, I do.
Your opinion is irrelevant. I'm so sorry.
I have a Fortnite profile picture.
But people know what you look like. You know what I mean? But if you do not have your face on the internet, your opinion to me is completely void. It is completely irrelevant. Your political opinion, it could be coming from... an absolute like 13-year-old, and it's like, I'm sorry, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I don't trust 13-year-olds to give me their political opinion on the bloody workforce and what is crunch time and what workers should be paid. So it's like, I just don't trust you if you've got a bloody profile picture that's a fucking Fortnite character, you know? Oh God. And they always like, oh my God. They always think they're so right. That's what bugs the hell out of me. And you get like 100 likes on your post and you think you're a god. You're not a god. You're a fool. You're a fool for thinking that that makes you right. You're an absolute backwards moron for believing that a bunch of likes makes your opinion correct.
Thinking that likes will validate you is got to be the stupidest thing I've ever seen.
Oh, big time.
Just because of the things I've seen get like 100k likes, etc., are the most stupid shit. I've seen so much, like I've seen people fall over, get 100k likes, and you think you're a bloody, you think you're a god, you think you're something to be looked up to because you could get that amount. It doesn't compute in my mind.
It's like, you know, how many likes people get online, even if they are an online personality, behind the scenes, they could be an absolute mole, you know? And that's the thing that I wish the public or more people understood just in general is, you know, the reason why you don't suck up to big personalities is because you don't know them. You know their online persona and personality and the face that they put on every single day. But behind the scenes, you do not know that person, no matter who they are. Like, I am saying to the person listening right now, like, you could think that you know Creator, but do you know Nathan? You know, you could know Loserfruit, but do you know Kathleen? And it's okay not to, but it's not okay to put people on these ginormous pedestals and think that they are a vigil of moral and ethical good, and then you know, strive to be what they're like online, you know, because it's just a farce in many regards, you know. And look at all the personalities that come out, and they're all bloody weirdos behind the sign. So many of them. Like, I don't want to name names, but, like, you know, during the Me Too movement and stuff, whole bunch of YouTubers are fucking absolute weirdo degenerates away from their online persona. It annoys the hell out of me that, like, yeah, like, I guess that we sometimes put people on pedestals just because they have this amount of subs, or, you know, they have this amount of following, or, you know, they got this many likes on this post. Like, that is irrelevant to who you are as a person. That's my rant done.
Hey, Crave Rants.
I can do a little dance. Am I making sense, though, Fruity? Am I making sense?
No, you make absolute sense. But it also is a good thing, too. Just saying the people, just because they get a little likes, doesn't mean they don't you see your comments, or they don't, you know, want to kind of talk to you, like reply to your messages, like reply to your like posts, I mean, rather than that. Regardless, because we're all made out of flesh and
blood and pus.
Yeah.
We're all a little bit pussy, aren't we?
So don't put someone on a pedestal because they have the same pus as you do.
It's like, how do you feel about sharing your political opinions, or even an opinion about how you feel on a certain topic online, Fruity? Because I'm pretty open about those things, but and I guess we do have to be on podcasts, but on stream, I'd really like to stop actually talking about some topics and things like that. Yeah,
I think if you know a lot about something, go ahead and share your opinion. But I've seen it just so much happen of it just people jumping the gun and then getting in trouble with it. I try to stay away from it at all. But I'm beginning to think that I, you know, I'm like, if I did have people listening, if I did have people watching my Twitter, etc., that wouldn't it be the best time to have an opinion? Like, I really respect people who put themselves out there and get it. I don't respect when people get aggressive about it. I don't think that ever works. I don't think you're ever gonna. I don't know if speaking down to someone and being aggressive has ever worked for anyone. Like, that's what I don't understand about certain messages I see online that people are trying to get across. Like, if you don't see my way, you suck.
that's so dangerous as well, because it almost, like, I don't know if this is the proper word, but almost like guilds people into coming over to their group. It almost like creates a almost level of conformity where now you are conforming to these things. And if you even stray an inch in the other direction, even for a moment, just to learn, you are in the wrong. And I think that is a very dangerous ideal to hold and above people.
It's because a lot of our audience are Americans, but you thing for Americans is that they politicize things that aren't political a lot of the time. And it drives me insane. I could say a comment and people would be like, well, you're obviously this is what you believe in, this is what kind of political leaning you have, and I'm like, no, it's just I just said something.
it's just a little comment. Yeah, it's like Australians seem to just or maybe like other cultures or other places as well just love, like, we're almost talking for the sake of talking, you know, we're talking shit almost. It's like, yeah. And if you do share an opinion, I think sometimes, you know, having been an Australian in front of an American audience, they think that you would never, ever even consider going the other way, even even like, you know, if I was to say one thing in one moment, right, I reserve the right 3 minutes later to go, oh, I didn't really like what I said there. That was wrong. You know, I don't agree with that. You know what I mean? You could say that's flipping back and forth, but that's, the world isn't black and white. You know, the world is not black and white. So, you know, when people do say things that maybe come off across as a little bit even ignorant, like, I wasn't going to share this story, but are you ready, Fruity? Sure. I actually said something that upset people recently.
That's not a surprise, Greg. Yeah.
Well, it didn't upset that many people, but let's just say I was a bit shocked at how political it got so quickly. So somebody came into my stream. They donated me $5. And when you do that, just so the listener knows, a message comes up on the screen and it reads it out. So everybody watching hears it. And this person said, hey, Cray, your streams have given me a great distraction from my depression. Do you have any advice for dealing with depression? So I said, yeah, man, you know, keep your chin up, look for hobbies, try to reach out and meet some friends, maybe clean your house. That's what always makes me feel better, like clean environment, clean mind. You know, yeah, I went through some things, you know, that I thought would cheer them up. You know, I said, believe in yourself and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And no joke, I got backlash because all these people started saying, Cray, you know nothing you're talking about. It's a chemical imbalance. Like, it's an objective thing that you cannot get rid of depression. And I said, yeah, like, that is one side of depression, right? You know, yeah. It's a chemical imbalance and you can't get rid of it. But I'm not going to tell somebody not to try. I'm not going to be a negative
you
person
should
succumb and say,
to your
give up.
Mind and yeah. What your mind oh. decides. You should let that happen.
Oh.
You
should Fruity,
let your feelings dictate what
so.
Happened. What
I couldn't believe yeah. it. I couldn't believe people wanted me to say that to this person. Like, it's a chemical imbalance. Like, the science behind it. It's like, no, I'm going to be positive about it. I'm going to try to help this person.
Because even then, you've got people who are very, like, productive. They've got depressed people who are very productive. Like,
exactly.
There's a word for it, but I can't remember. But that do just, they clean, they do everything. They still have it, but they could use that motivation. They're still like, yeah, okay, I'll continue cleaning. And that's just the most ridiculous thing that you got backlash yeah. for it. I'm mad that I wasn't there to weird
yeah.
champ their faces.
And I think like positive outlooks are the way to be. You know what I mean? Like,
I think like blaming entirely like also a chemical imbalance and not willing to like listen to other things is also a problem in itself too.
Like it's just like, solidifying that within yourself, just
yeah,
being like, this
just
is
being
the way
like,
it
this
is.
This is the way it is can be like super detrimental. Like, it, yes, it could be a part of it. It could be like the main part of it is a chemical imbalance. But it's like saying that is everything and that's how it must be is like setting yourself up for failure every day.
Yeah. It's like, and I don't like to use this as an analogy, and I'm not saying it's alike, you know, what am I trying to say? It's not a direct analogy in any way, but I watched a video on YouTube where a guy was told that he would never walk again. And guess what? He's walking today. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's like, you never know what you can do if you put your mind to it. You never know. And you can live a fulfilling life even with the things that hold us down, our barriers, we can still live a fulfilling life. And, you know, I just like to believe in that rather than believing in the other side of, oh, you know, this is how it is. It's even if it was like that and it is like, this is how it is, you know, I don't like to think that this is how it is.
Yeah.
You know, if I was to get sick tomorrow, really sick, you know, with some sort of, you know, touch wood, you know, turn around, touch the ground, hope it never happens to me. If I was to get sick tomorrow and get some sort of like cancer or something like that, that was going to take my life, I wouldn't want to just give up, you know? And, you know, maybe somebody listening with more experience in this field would say, you know, oh, but you don't know how it feels. And you are right, you know, you never know how it feels. And, you know, I don't think me and Fruity are saying we know how it feels, but, you know,
I think
just being positive
is
good.
I think one of them... The craziest thing is knowing how much you can control your feelings and like how much you can control how your brain works.
It's the most powerful thing in the world. You
can,
you know?
Yeah, no, it's really, because you can really like let your feelings take over, but I do think there's a strong, the mind is really insane and it's really powerful and it can really be different.
It is.
And just because you have had some issues in the past does not mean you have to have those issues repeatedly. Doesn't,
yeah,
it might pop up, yeah, again, but it doesn't mean it doesn't have to define you at any way, in it, any it, sense.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, you know, I've talked a little bit about this, like, on the internet, but my sister has really suffered, like, very much so. Like, I don't really want to go into details or, like, to the extent, but let's just say my sister has suffered miserably with some mental health stuff. You know, she's really been afflicted by it. Now my sister, she just yesterday got a job full-time, which is very good.
Awesome.
And all that kind of jazz, you know, it's like you don't understand the power of what you have and what you can do, even, you know, through all the afflictions and all the barriers. You know, I believe in a positive outlook. I love people who can remain positive no matter what afflicts them. It's so powerful. Yeah,
this is inspiring to someone, and you take it the right way.
Yeah, sure. I hope we're being, am I being inspiring, or do I sound like a dickhead?
I don't know. Maybe,
I think I might, I mean, be a dickhead.
A bit of both, Gray, let's be real.
Yeah, that's usually what happens to case. Me.
You want to wrap it up there? Keep it short like we always do?
Yeah, that's a nice little short one.
We don't like to go on for too long. What do you mean it's a nice little short one? We always go for 40 minutes. Like, this is our like normal time, isn't it?
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah, I think that was actually a really good little talk, though. We talked about mascots, we talked about video games, and we talked about mental health.
Did we
good.
Talk about mascots?
We did, remember? We talked about Disney mascots.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Why are you going back on that?
I just thought about it.
Okay. we have no comments to read. Oh.
Okay, well, anyway, guys.
I'm open up YouTube to read one.
You found one, okay.
As an only child, I can confirm it's lonely. Is that what we talked about last week?
Did we? Oh, my God. Is that what we'd be talking about? No way. We did not talk about that, did we?
Ooh, there's a crazy only person I know of that actually wants kids. A question I have for him is whether or not he'll continue streaming and recording when he has kids.
Yeah, I definitely will. Definitely. There are a lot of streamers and YouTubers that you don't really know. You don't really know about them having kids, you know? But yeah, definitely, undoubtedly. I don't think it's the end of the world to have children, you know? I don't think it's the end of the world, like a lot of people say. Like, think about, like, normal people in their normal day-to-day lives in a normal job, right? They have children. They still have to work. Sometimes both parents have to keep working to keep food on the table. There's ways to get around it, you know, and I'm not just going to throw my career away for children in the regards that my career is what has given me the ability to provide such a good life for my kids. So, yeah, and I think it's about positive mentalities, Fruity, you see? It's like, I'm not going to say, no, I can't do it. No, I have to stop streaming. No, I have to do this. It's going to be like, you know, somebody could be shaking their head right now and saying like, oh no, like, you know, there's no chance. He doesn't understand how hard raising children are. But it's like, I'm not going to believe that. You know, I'm going to look towards the positive and think that I can do both.
It's easy. Your buddy stream from home anyway. Easiest freaking thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, you just rock a kid back and forth and then it's asleep. It's easy. I got it, bro. Don't worry.
Dude, there was a streamer that breastfed on stream. Craig will start doing that too. Don't worry about it. Get his milkers out. What? another question I saw.
I'll just stream with a baby in my hand, Fruity, you know?
Yeah.
Just like one hand
the
holding the baby and then, easy.
Mm-hmm. The donos easy. When they see the...
The donos when they see my baby.
They get the baby cam.
Oh, my God, that's true.
There's another question from Daniel saying, why do other countries like Australia keep up with American politics? It's because we're kind of forced to be honest with you.
Come on.
Bloody
American
Trump got
politics,
COVID, and
slamming
that's
down
all
everyone's
I saw.
Throat.
I open the news every morning,
oh my
and that's
God.
All I saw. Trump has COVID. He has COVID. That's all I saw.
Yeah, get over yourself. What are you talking about, Daniel? It's all over the bloody area. Bastard. Sorry, Daniel.
It's more interesting than Australian politics. It's like it's 10 times more interesting than Australian politics, American.
True.
But it's also, yeah.
Well, Fruity.
Just everywhere. News. Oh my god. I'm sneezing while I'm talking. It's so rude. I'm a new
podcast partner. We gotta get out of here.
Okay. Thanks for listening, Olin.
Thank you, everyone. We gotta get out of here.